Hi, I'm Rachel McElroy.
Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
You changed the article there. In a, you usually say, hi, this is
Griffin. This is, yeah.
Right, and that shouldn't freak me out so much. I don't like how much that threw me.
As I was saying it, it felt weird, but I also kind of liked it because it made me feel like I was like a host of 2020.
Yeah. I'm Rachel McElroy. Yeah, that felt really official. This is wonderful, a show where we talk about things that we like that is good and are good and we is into it. And I'm so happy to be in the studio with you a bit late this week. It's been a real barnstormer over here, folks. We've got business. Rachel has other business.
Yeah, so I have a job.
Right. And that what you just said is offensive to me. And I want to make space for
that. Well, I wasn't finished yet.
Oh, okay.
I have a job that involves me having bosses and coworkers that I'm not related to.
And don't know that you do this on the side.
True, yeah.
I don't, which is wild.
I don't talk about or introduce myself in a way that's like, hey, my name is Rachel McElroy of the McElroys, and I have a podcast, as you would expect.
Yeah.
That is not how
But when people find out, you're always like, that's right. Don't tell.
Wink.
Wink. Don't tell about my family. So yeah, we're a little late this week.
So anyway, so I was busy with that. Griffin was busy with...
No, I was ready. Don't put this on me, Ricky Bobby. I've been ready to party.
Oh yeah?
Midnight, I'll get up out of bed and crank out the sausage and make the donuts. Mm-hmm. I can't be stopped.
I thought you'd want to talk about your various appointments, but I guess we're not that kind of show.
We're not that kind of show. My health is my privacy.
That's the saying.
I treat my health like you treat being a part of this family. It's a secret to everyone. Do you have any small wonders?
Oh. I've been getting real into Facebook Marketplace lately.
You really have been.
Which is kind of embarrassing for a bunch of reasons. I mean, even saying the word Facebook is kind of embarrassing now.
Sure.
But, you know, like there are a lot of things that you purchase that seem like they cost too much.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people in this kind of transient city that are, you know, moving to a different location for whatever reason. And
right.
they are pricing things to move.
Yeah.
So, I got like a little storage thing for downstairs for all the toys that our children don't play with but can't throw away.
Right.
And the woman was like moving stuff out of her apartment complex and she was so grateful that I took it. And I just felt like this is a good thing that I'm doing.
I have so much stuff that I need to hawk, but I don't know why I'm scared. Like, I don't know why I'm scared to...
This is like when you moved to Austin from Chicago and you like...
When I moved to Austin from Chicago, it was a fucking like clearing, like going out of business sale. I sold so much shit before I moved here.
I think part of it, you've had a few like weird interactions, I feel like, when you have sold things.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
And so you're like anticipating.
I sold a drum kit to someone in Chicago. I don't know why I brought the drum kit with me to Chicago, but I sold it. And the asking price was like amazing. I was selling it for like $150 for like a full drum kit. That was like I'd put a little bit of work into. And somebody came and was like, okay, how about 60? And I was like, Jesus, man. Like, I understood that this was going to be a part of it.
See, I never do that. And I've never had anyone do that to me.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times it's like I'm giving it away and it's out on the porch and I don't even talk to you.
Yeah.
Or it's like, hey, we stand there for a second, exchange like Venmo or whatever, and then we get back in our cars and that's it.
See, I also just remembered when I sold my bed to a recent divorcee in Austin in what was one of, I would say, top five most uncomfortable human interactions.
I would love to have like a video of that because, I mean, it doesn't seem crazy that she would sit on the bed just to make sure that it wasn't
the bed. But she didn't need to... tap it after she said, you know what I mean?
Oh, did she tap it?
No, she didn't.
Okay. I was going to say, wait a minute.
This isn't The Graduate. I should have thought of something to say here at this point. Oh, you know, I'm going to say E3 is gone. This is typically the time of year that E3 would happen, but like E3 is just fucking fully gone, which I'm still kind of bummed out about, even though I'm not really deep in the industry anymore. But the past week, there's been like a bunch of different individual little shows, little showcases. Like Xbox did one, and
little farm to table,
little farm to table Xbox games showcase. There's this guy Jeff Keighley who has been sort of a presenter host type dude in the industry for forever, who just started his own show called Summer Game Fest. And all of those really patched together very nicely for me this week. It was a very fun week for gaming news that got me really excited. And so I'll say that E3 is gone, but the spirit of games and gaming is still going strong, folks.
Wow.
No, Summer Games Done Quick is happening, right? I didn't know. It's been happening all week. I've been sleeping on it.
Oh, wow. I always assumed you got like a little alert on your phone.
I know. No, I've, you know, with all of my health appointments this week, it's hard to keep up with
it. I want to specify there's nothing critically wrong with Griffin. No. Don't worry. He just like was catching up on some like annual visits and such.
So I think it's fun that you think I only have to go to the dentist once a year. One of them's a dentist. Here's
I didn't want to air your business. I just wanted to make clear these are routine visits. They're not like, Griffin, you're going to lose this appendage if we don't see you tomorrow.
Yeah, no. I mean, my teeth are amazing. Like, they're in amazing shape. You go first this week, and I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, so we kind of teased this in a previous episode. We started watching a show, and I thought, I want to talk about this in detail. I want to do a whole episode about it. And it's all we're going to talk about. And maybe we should make a series about it. And Griffin was...
was literally... the first episode wasn't even done yet. And Rachel was like, we have to dedicate... We're going to relaunch fucking Rose Buddies, but just about this show.
And Griffin had me dial back a little bit, and we kept watching.
Well, I wanted to vet the show a little bit, which I'm glad that we did.
There are 18 episodes of it, and we're not finished yet. We've watched 13 of the 18,
15.
Right? 15. We watched 15.
We've been moving at a clip, okay?
They're very short. They're like 30 minutes, right?
Right, yes.
It's
called Frasier.
There's 18 episodes.
There's 18 episodes of Frasier. Because a lot of them got too problematic through the looking glass of history, and so they got rid of a bunch of episodes. But there's 18 still good. No, it's not Frasier.
Do you and your family members have a rule about how often you have to say Frasier on a McElroy product?
Yeah, and in fact, let me email my fucking parole, my Frasier parole officer.
So the show is called Love Village, and it is on Netflix.
Love Village on Netflix. Yes. Just popped up in our, hey, Griffin, we think you might like this. Sometimes that section is not like Netflix, you don't know me at all. Love Village is like, wow, you really wicked definitely know me, Netflix.
Yeah. So I sometimes forget that our Netflix suggestions are so curated.
Yes.
So when I went online to start researching this show, I was like, there's nothing about Love Village anywhere.
Folks, you are getting, this is hot, exclusive off the presses. Just reporting on the Netflix show Love Village that you're not going to find anywhere else.
Yeah, speaking of that, so the thing that got me so excited about Love Village is that it is, I mean, it's a reality dating show, one. Yes. But two, it has so many different features that you literally can't find anywhere
else. Can't get it anywhere
else.
It is a Japanese dating reality show.
Yeah. It's my topic.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I got so excited.
See, I offered you. I said we could do a whole episode about this.
I know.
And you said, I don't know that the audience is going to want a whole episode of Love Village.
No, that's fair.
But look
at
how excited you are.
I know. I love it.
So a lot of what you'll find about it is talks about it as like the spiritual successor to Terrace House, because it is a Japanese kind of dating show where they live together. But unlike Terrace House, the goal of this one is to really find what they call your final love.
Right.
And they call it that because all the contestants are age 35 and over.
Yes, which is, and when we say 35 and over, like up to, I think there's like a 61-year-old person. There's like a couple of 60s folks, a lot of 40s, mid-40s, some mid-30s thrown in there too. The 50 to 59 demo has been underserved so far, but who knows?
Yeah, this means that a lot of the contestants, you know, have been married before or have children. They're at like a point in their life where they're actually like, some of the contestants are like thinking about like, I maybe got 10 good years left. I should probably get married.
Which is especially great when, like, a fuckboy does work his way into the machine, and that people have just no fucking time for that whatsoever, which is very refreshing.
So the other thing I want to mention quickly that got me so excited about this show is that they have them live in, like, a very remote area of Japan in, like, a traditional, like, old Japanese style house that is in complete disrepair.
It is in shambles when they get there.
Like, they have to replace the floors. There's, like, no furniture.
There's,
like,
no insulation. There's,
And so that was what was really exciting to me. And it actually ends up being kind of, it plays a lesser role as the show goes on. I had kind of thought that this was going to be a real, like, frontiersman kind of show, you know, where they were going to have to learn to set traps.
This show has made me and Rachel think of a reality television show that we watched fucking all of, and maybe the only two human beings on Earth. I don't know. Actually, JD Amato has probably watched it too, called Utopia, where some people live in a sort of self-sustaining ecosystem.
Yeah.
That was a complete huge commercial failure, but this show has a lot of that, like, go farm some vegetables. You all get, what is it, like 30,000 yen, which is like $300 a week to spend on groceries.
Yeah,
and stuff
so
like that for the
so
whole house.
Things are provided to them, but and they'll also have experts come in and, like, teach them how to do stuff. So, like, if they're going to put in a new floor, you know, they'll have actually somebody come in and be like, this is how you do a new floor.
Yeah.
Although a lot of the contestants do have some kind of, like, construction background, which I think is probably pretty intentional.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say that makes it like Terrace House is that there are hosts.
Yes.
Not a full panel, but two hosts that I guess have been working together for a while in the industry and are pretty well known. Becky and Atsushi?
Yes, Atsushi.
And
Becky is that it's really good. It's we were not sold on them at first, I think, because
they're not comedians. They're, like, hosts, you know?
Right. And they're also always there. Unlike Terrace House, where you watch Terrace House and then there's, like, a break where the commentators speak.
There's a little picture in picture where you are watching them watch the show.
It's not always there, but you can always hear their voices talking over the show, which was very distracting. But then they're great. So
they're great, yeah. And it's similar to Terrace House in the sense they're very enthusiastic about the show. They are very invested in the, like, romance. And they get very connected to, like, some of the storylines. So it is fun in that Terrace House way of, like, you're watching it with buds.
There's something about it that the conversation around Terrace House has changed dramatically, right? And I think that is because it purported itself, and one of the reasons why, like, we really fell in love with that show is compared to a Bachelor, Bachelorette, or really any American reality dating show, it felt like really raw and unproduced and very, very real and very boring at times, which made those real moments feel like really good. But then, you know, after everything that happened, like, it, you know, you realize, like, oh, there was a, you know, the hand of production was guiding a lot of that along the way, which doesn't, you know, completely remove the merits of that show. What I like about Love Village is it's very produced. Like, it is extremely, it's like, all right, now everybody come outside. This is the dating bench. You sit on this to talk about dating. Like,
gosh, there's so much to talk about with this show.
There is a lot to talk about.
I haven't even talked about the bell.
Yeah, there's a bell. There's a very important bell.
So the way they keep the show moving at a clip and new contestants coming in.
Contestant is a wild word to use.
Well, yeah.
Participant. Subjects. So
how many are on the show at eight? Okay. Typically there's like four women, four men. And the goal of the show is to find somebody that you feel serious about and confess. And the way confessing works is you go up a hill and there is a bell and the bell is very loud and you ring it and then everybody comes outside and then you, like, you know, schoolyard pick style, take the person that you are confessing to and you walk somewhere else.
To the dating bench, which moves. It moves around. It's a quantum dating bench. Sometimes it's by a waterfall. Sometimes it's in a field.
And then if you are the confessor, you kind of give your little speech and then the person gets back to you the next day.
They give you a whole day to sit on it, which is so cruel.
And when you get back to them, it is you and the confessor. in front of the house, like Wild West style, like getting ready to have a shootout. And they make everybody line up. So like all the other like, participants,
lovers,
stand there and watch you have this exchange where you again state your interest in the person, and then that person publicly responds.
Right.
And you can either leave together, or if the person you confess to isn't into it, they will stay and you will leave, and it is done.
Which is really a fascinating thing, because it when you see people participating in a reality television show, it is really hard to separate the objective of finding love from the objective of being on a television show and getting some sort of following or cred or whatever from that. When you confess when you ring that bell, you're going to go home. Like, you are going home no matter what when you ring the bell, which is a really interesting thing. You don't see that on anything else. It's like on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, people will sometimes choose to leave if they don't see a partner for them.
But also, what would never happen is like, I think I really like this girl and I'm going to tell her and then I have to leave. That's like, nobody would fucking do that because they need as much screen time to sell tummy tea as they can possibly get their hands on.
So far, there is nobody who has outwardly very specifically said, like, I am a model, or, you know, like, nobody has identified themselves as an influencer. And I have not, like, looked into it to see.
I have my suspicions about Anchovy.
Oh, yeah.
There's a dude named Anchovy who's been in the house the whole time, whose whole vibe is, and they've played it up to, I would say, a slightly mean-spirited extent.
He is a chef at an Italian restaurant, and so he is called Anchovy. We don't really know if this is something that occurs outside of the house or if this is just his house name.
His house name, yeah, I don't know. But his whole thing is he just assumes every woman in the house is in love with him.
Yeah.
And he has this whole theater of the mind thing happening that the hosts just delight in. He is television gold, this man. The vibe of the show is pleasant in a way that Terrace House was pleasant, even though it is more produced, more traditional dating reality show style thing. Like, it walks the line. And I think it's just them living together.
And they're always working on projects.
They're always working on projects.
So that is together. The thing that does come up, since it is a very like rustic style house, is they will have these ideas and they will get the materials, and then typically they will pair up to complete a task.
Right.
So like build a fire pit, you know, or build like a duck coop.
A duck coop, yeah. What's really telling about the show, and is kind of the sweetest thing about it, is anytime someone rings the bell, it means they're going home, right?
Yeah.
So and they'll usually sneak off to do it so that nobody knows that they're going out to ring the bell. So everybody else will be sitting around eating, you know, lunch or whatever. And then they'll hear from way outside, like, clang, 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 clang. And then there's a moment where everybody looks around to see who's missing.
Yeah.
And then without fail, a handful of people just break down into tears because they know that their friend is leaving. That is so... That connection that you get from making a show together and living in a house together and working on projects like this together is palpable. It is incredibly sweet and
It's the combination, right? Like, it's the combination of your friend is leaving and also recognizing like this person has found love.
Yeah.
And I have not.
Like, yeah.
I have to imagine that's a piece of it.
There are two women who start out in the house together who form like this really beautiful friendship and are both kind of unlucky in love. And then somebody new shows up to the house and one of them like strikes up a romance with them. And those two women, their parting is the most sort of moving thing that has come out of the show, because it's like, you know, they were soldiers in the battlefield of love together. It was... All right.
So we've already talked a long time about this. Two more things I will just say as little throwaways. the theme song of the show. All music for the show is brought to you by the Backstreet Boys. And not like today's Backstreet Boys, but like Backstreet Boys of the mid-90s.
And quick, go through the Rolodex of Backstreet Boys songs that you know in your head and assume which one is going to be the theme song for this love-based reality show called Love Village. Did you guess Backstreet's Back All Right? Probably not. Probably went with one of their ballads, right? Shape of Your Heart shows up a lot. Both both the original version and the orchestral version that the score that the show has produced that will play over certain scenes.
And the other thing I will say is that a lot of times when contestants are telling a story about themselves, it will be animated.
Yes. And this is the most produced thing that happens in this
show. It always catches me off guard, but they do these very compelling animations that are very accurate and that they look exactly like the contestant. And it will be like, let me tell you the story of my first marriage, and it's going to be animated on screen so that the viewer at home can watch it in its entirety.
And it's animated in like a rotoscope black and white, almost, I think you likened it to Take On Me, the Aha music video for Take On Me. And you also made the comment that they are so few and far between that every time one starts,
I'm always surprised. I'm like, oh, it's animated now.
Oh my God, what? I will also say I was unsure about this show because there's a dude on it at the very beginning named Hollywood who sucks. He's like very overbearing and like has real boundary issues.
He does seem like, to use a phrase, is on the show for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody kind of has an affection for him, but he is very clear that he is looking for somebody that he can bring to his movie premieres and his industry events because he is a famous actor who is only going to get more famous.
Yeah, he's pretty gross, but also just a little pro tip from us to you. He leaves after three episodes, so
yeah, he's
not in there very long.
If you wisely get over, the first to confess,
yeah.
So it was kind of what we were like: is this guy going to hang around? Is this really going to change the tone of the show? Because he seems pretty obnoxious. And
if you can get over the Hollywood hump, you're made in the shade, baby. I really like this show a lot. I feel like it wears its heart on its sleeve a lot.
And it's a new show too. So when I was doing my research, I was kind of hoping it was like Terrace House and that we were getting a season here in the States and there were more hidden somewhere. No, this is a new.
This is not like when Terrace House, the first season came to Netflix and then there was a like 105 episode season before it that we had never seen that we then spent the next like 2 years trying to find and watch all of. This is hot.
We have not even talked about the individual contestants. You know, I'm gonna leave that as a treat. We have given some teasers as to people that are on the show.
Yeah.
There are a lot of really great people.
A lot of really great people.
That we could spend the rest of the episode talking about, but
we should talk about the host's fashion is in the same way that like the panel of, you know, six hosts of Terrace House always had like something fresh going on, some great. Becky and Atsushi, their vibe is immaculate.
Yeah.
Every episode I look for, and I'm not like a clothes guy, but every episode I look forward to seeing what these two wear on their bodies because it's fucking outrageous.
Well, and it really stands in contrast because most of the people in this kind of rustic style house are dressed practically. You know, they're wearing overalls, they're wearing work shirts, you know, they're living kind of a hard life, you know, tilling the field, and then you cut back to the studio.
To Becky wearing fucking Grace Jones shoulder pads that like go up over her ear. Like, yeah, it's really good. It's really good. I'm really excited. We're almost done with it, which is heartbreaking because we've only been watching it for like 6 days or so. But I love it, and I hope it takes off and they make more of it. We probably could have done a whole episode about that.
Yes, this is what I'm saying.
But I would like to do my segment right after the break, if I may.
Okay. Can I steal you away?
Yes. We all got needs, and to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself, but then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe six things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway, Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com.
My fellow graduates, for 500 episodes, my podcast, The JV Club with Janet Varney, has gathered story after story of all the scandalous things we've done throughout our childhoods.
Wait, what's happening?
Stories like how Jamila Jamil survived a horrific house party and she was on crutches.
This is great.
Or how Hal Lublin learned a Shakespearean monologue in his pajamas.
This is not the speech we approve.
Without your love and life tragedies, there would be no podcast. In fact, I'll have an exclusive look at how Maggie Lawson's mom confronted her after a sneaky basement meetup with her crush.
Spill the tea, JV.
Security!
Listen to the JV Club with Janet Varney Thursdays on Maximum Fun! Class of Forever!
Parenting. It's hard, but don't worry, you're not alone. Belly up to the low bar with One Bad Mother and let us remind you that fine is good enough.
They want to climb on different things. And how am I supposed to keep them both from dying?
There is a right way to do this. And if I can figure out that right way, I'm going to be a good parent. So that is not a thing.
So join us each week and let us tell you that you are doing a good job. You can listen to One Bad Mother on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
This will be quick. It's a celebration of fast food mascots. I want to sing a song of fast food mascots to the audience.
Did you see the new Grimace thing?
Yes. This is the inspiration for the fast food mascot segment. I started prepping a thing about fast food mascots, and I realized like the last half of my notes were all Grimace. So this is like a
we've talked about something similar to this before, right?
I believe we have an episode that is titled like Abstinent Grimace or something like that. So it's possible.
I don't think we've specifically talked about Grimace in detail, but I feel like we have talked about mascots in a variety of shapes and forms. But so here's the thing. I also saw Grimace in his new featured role with McDonald's. And I had the instinct that people probably all over the world have, which is like, does Justin McElroy know about this? And then I realized the fact that I'm having that thought means that he most definitely does.
Yeah. I looked. I didn't see anything about it does feel like we have discussed something around the periphery of this before. But we've been doing this show for almost 300 episodes. So that's unavoidable.
And you know what? The listeners want to take a deep dive into Grimace.
I think so, too. Obviously, I think, you know, fast food marketing can get pretty gross, but I can also hold that truth in my mind while also holding a deep and abiding love of fast food mascots. Because the very idea that a restaurant chain, or to further sort of like abstract that out, like a food business that sells people food and wants you to come in and spend your money on their food, is like, I know what'll help with that. A little guy. I know it's going to help people come in and buy our pizzas. What if we have a little guy who is a cartoon and he also likes the pizzas?
Yeah,
that's going to definitely move some pies.
Or we have a little guy who wants this so bad and can't get
it. He'll take it. He'll do crime. That's another good element to it, of just like, this person loves this pizza so much that they'll do crime for it. I don't have to do crime for the pizza, but it's still very good.
And the fact that this little guy wants to do crime for the pizza makes you at home think like, man, this must be really good.
Right. This has been a thing for our whole lives. Obviously, you got Ronald, you got Taco Bell Chihuahua, you got, which I don't think is still a thing.
No.
You got Wendy, you got Burger King.
We were, of course, referring to the Noid.
The Noid is, of course, not so much. The Noid, I feel like they flirted with a revival, a Noid revival, and then realized, like, he's too fucked up.
Did the Little Caesars guy have a name?
He died. Caesar.
Was it just Caesar?
I'm pretty sure it was Caesar, okay. Or Little Caesar. And anytime you ate pizza from Little Caesars, which for me was several times a week in college, you were eating his pizza. Don't.
Several times
I will tell
a
you
week?
Something. I still yearn for $5 hot and readies. Like, I think about them a lot, even though we have obviously reached a point in our adult lives where we can have better pizza. There is something so zesty about a $5 hot and ready that I think about a lot.
See, for me, I pair them with like sad times in my life.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So like the idea of getting it now feels like a backslide.
Obviously, fast food mascots largely targeted towards kids, most explicitly in the BK Kids Club, which was an ensemble of cool children.
Yeah, I have no real connection to that. I remember that being a thing. I couldn't tell you anything about them.
They're a collection of cool kids from different backgrounds who were brought together by their love of like flame grilled hamburgers. But so many of the mascots that have existed in this space have been like over designed by a team of like ruthlessly efficient marketing like managers, and that does very little for me. What I love is like the desperation plays of fast food mascots that businesses leave behind them, like a trail of dead that they just refuse to. Dunkin' Donuts has a mascot whose name is Cuppy, and he's a cup of Dunkin' Donuts.
I feel
coffee.
Like I saw an animation of this at some point, but it was like on some material. It wasn't like, I didn't see this cup move around and say anything.
He shows up at sports games sometimes and it just like gets out there. But like Dunkin' Donuts is a pretty big business and they absolutely refuse to commit to Cuppy, because I imagine a lot of people don't know about Cuppy. Bojangles has a mascot that is also Cuppy. It's called Cuppy and it's a cup of Bojangles stuff, which like when I think about Dunkin' Donuts, yes. Cup of coffee. That's their thing. Bojangles, I don't think like I'm going to go to Bojangles and get beverages. I think it's...
So it is a beverage? It's not like a cup of like...
Of chicken?
Popcorn chicken?
No, I don't believe so.
I think here's the thing, right? Like any mascot that appears as a food item, you are kind of putting yourself in an awkward situation of just like a destroy me.
But that's the thing, right? Culver's has Scoopy, which is a sentient smiling ice cream cone, right? Bojangles and Dunkin' Donuts have different cuppies, but you're not killing Cuppy when you enjoy the beverage out of Cuppy.
Here's the thing. If I were dressed in that mascot costume, which I know is something that you can think of a little more viscerally than me.
Yeah.
People are coming up to you and they're saying, can I put my mouth on your straw all day long?
All day long.
That's not pleasant for anyone.
No one likes that. Well, unless Cuppy's nasty. One of the Cuppies is nasty. Either the Dunkin' Donuts or the Bojangles Cuppy. One of them's nasty. And you have to know, you have to kind of feel it out. Because if you walk up on Dunkin' Donuts Cuppy and they're giving off a vibe like, I don't want your mouth anywhere near my straw. But Bojangles Cuppy might be down to clown.
What is your instinct? What does your heart tell you? Which
I think
is
Bojangles
the nasty?
Cuppy... would be down to clown.
That's my thought too.
Okay, good.
Dunkin' Donuts seems a little more proper.
Prudish is the word I would use. Okay, we gotta talk about Grimace, because McDonald's has been on a big grimace kick lately in honor of his 52nd birthday. And it resulted yesterday in the release of...
He could have been a contestant on Love Village.
He could have been a contestant on Love Village. God almighty, how fucking funny would that be if somebody's like, oh, someone's at the gate. Go
nobody
answer
acknowledges
it. No
it.
One answers. Oh, it's Grimace?
It's Grimace, but like nobody like acts like it's unusual.
They celebrated his 52nd birthday yesterday with the release of a new Game Boy Color game titled Grimace's Birthday. And it's real, and you can download and play it right now. Game Boy Color, of course, a platform that was sort of, that we all moved beyond in like 1999,
See, I assumed it was like an app or something.
You can play it online. Okay. But I think you can also download a ROM and like slap it onto your like emulator device and play Grimace's Birthday on the go. I have not played it yet. I probably should have before this bit, but that's great. Grimace is God tier, right? He's an absolute unit. He's a purple mass of flesh that loves eating McDonald's food and hanging out with, according to the wiki, his best friend, Ronald McDonald.
Whoa, so he's the number one.
He's the number one. He is Ronald McDonald's emergency contact. What I love about Grimace and find so fascinating about Grimace is this liminal space he occupies between like forgotten mascot relic of the past, yeah, fucking Cuppy, and cherished part of the McDonald's canon and McDonald's family. Because McDonald's has been really cagey about Grimace, about like what he even is, which is alarming.
Yeah.
So there's a 2012 tweet from the McDonald's corporate Twitter account in response to somebody, and McDonald's tweeted, "Grimace is the embodiment of a milkshake, though others still insist he's a taste bud." You should fucking know that. You should probably know. Rachel feels very confident that we have talked about this before, Grimace's like identity.
But again, not in detail.
Not in detail. Obviously, when he first came around, he was a scaly four-armed monster who wanted to steal kids' milkshakes, which scared children very badly.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
So they sanded off some of the rough edges and two of the arms of Grimace and made him the friendly, simple
Can I tell
man.
You my theory on the origin story of Grimace?
Yeah.
I mean, he's shaped like a nugget, you know? And so my thought was they tried to make a big nugget.
A big
and
purple nugget?
Well, no, I think it was chicken colored. I think it was like a flesh colored nugget, and everyone was like,
"So this was a flesh colored giant man with four arms." Yeah, that's bad.
And my assumption was that like, ooh, I don't like him flesh colored. Let's try some other colors, yes. And then they landed on purple.
Here's what I don't think we've talked about before. He has not been a featured player. He wasn't for a very long time. In 2012, he appeared at a Dodgers game. He danced to Black Betty, Ram-a-Lam. That song. As a promotional stunt for McDonald's. And then he fucking disappeared for 8 years.
Whoa.
No sign of Grimace was seen. McDonald's kept his name out of their fucking mouths until the 2020 Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Really?
He's up on the float, hand in hand with his best friend, Ronald McDonald.
Maybe they had a falling out, honey.
They had a falling out. I don't know what happened that made this sort of fall apart for them. Anyway. I've gone on long enough about a subject that we may have discussed before, but
the thing I saw that would entertain me about this new Grimace situation with McDonald's is that they were like, in honor of Grimace, we have purple milkshakes.
Yeah.
There is no explanation as to why they are purple,
like,
what kind of natural flavor they are associating with purple, just like, hey, we have milkshakes and now they're purple like Grimace.
It could be like a yummy sort of like purple sweet potato vibe. Like that might be good.
Oh.
Anyway, I love Grimace. Because McDonald's won't really go all in on Grimace.
Well, by far the most huggable of the McDonald's group.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Birdie's not bad. The Fry Guys, I'm sure there's something there. You definitely don't want Hamburglar to hug you because you'll come back, your wallet's gone. They call him Hamburglar to kind of like disarm you and think like, oh, he's just doing
burgers. He's just hamburgers.
He just does burger crime. No. No, he'll steal any. He'll steal whatever. anyway. That's Grimace, and maybe we should have just talked about Love Village the whole time, but, you know, you take the good, you take the bad. Thanks to Bowen and Augustus for the use for our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org, check out all the shows there. There's a lot of good stuff there. This week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, me and Travis are going to be at AwesomeCon here in D.C., which you can still get passes to. So come out and see us. We're doing panels, we're doing signings, we're doing photos, we're doing all kinds of stuff. And then the week after that, we're going to be doing shows We're doing Mabim Bam and Taz in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then we're doing Mabim Bam in Richmond. I think we're going to try and do Wonderful in Raleigh for that Mabim Bam
show,
too. Yeah,
we don't have any kind of great childcare solution, but our hope is to do Wonderful to open for Mabim Bam in Raleigh.
Yes. So go to, I believe, McRoyTours.com or just McRoy.family. We'll get you there, too, and you can get tickets to all that stuff. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to go now so we can just get this bad boy up. So check you later. Check you on the flip. If we've talked about Grimace before, please don't tell us.
We should end every episode that way.
If we talked about Grimace, if we talked about any of the subjects before, please don't tell us. Let us live.
No, specifically Grimace.
Don't talk to me about Grimace.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.